This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
In the studio with us now is an icon of the Australian music scene, particularly the gay Australian music scene. Mr. Gavin Campbell, welcome back to Joy.
Thank you, Chris. How are you?
We're well. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good today. I've had a very productive day, so I'm kind of real gung-ho.
productivity's out the window now, so it's fine.
Now, I have known about you for a long time, and you know, but I have to say that when you actually start to look at what you've been involved in over the years with the music scene, with the club scene around Melbourne and throughout Australia, your career is tremendously influential.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You could. When you combine it all together.
Yeah.
And I guess the impact of some of the nightclubs, which don't normally have that type of impact, so I guess you could probably, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's go back a little, and I've sketched myself some notes so I don't forget here. I think one of the first things we need to, I guess probably one of the first times, and this is no mean feat because this was huge, was your involvement with a production outfit in the late 80s, early 90s called Filthy Lucre.
Yeah.
You were one of the two or three people?
There were three of us. There was an engineer who was also the programmer. He had all the equipment, and myself and my DJ buddy, Paul Main.
Mm-hmm.
So as DJs, we have all the ideas about what happens on the dance floor. And Robert Goodge, who was the writer, guitarist for I'm Talking, and Steve Cummings' band at the time, he was like a good mate. So I asked him if he would help us realize our dreams.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you had a couple of tracks, things like Sweet Dynamite was there, and you did a remix for Hunters and Collectors as well. And I noticed that the Greatest Hits album the Hunters and Collectors put out last year, they included your remix on
there. They did. You know, it's funny about that. It's funny you should mention that because I felt they put the wrong mix on. Because there is a particular mix that is really current right now. In fact, I'm one of the resident DJs at Trough X Parties.
Yeah.
And it's quite a hit. Every time I play it, because it's very masculine.
Right, yes.
The men just like pat the dance floor. And I'm thinking, Hunters, what are you thinking? You should have put the Temple mix, which was where Tasty was born.
Right, okay. Yeah. Now, I think one of the biggest things in terms of your success and how you were seen as being successful in those days was, of course, that you were responsible for bringing Yothu Yindi's Treaty to the mainstream audience by providing a remix for that song and making it absolutely, you know, go through the roof in terms of chart performance and sales.
Yeah, well, we're still, actually, it's probably the biggest talking point of my career. I've done a few influential things, but I think Treaty just kind of transcended everything because it involved lots of different things. It was the first time an Aboriginal act had actually been on the charts, let alone on the international charts, things like that. And I actually did it to be self-sufficient with my record label, because at the time Mushroom were scratching their heads thinking, how much money do we have to throw at this dance stuff? So I thought, wow, they've got an act that, and I knew that it would translate quite uniquely into a club sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think it's time we did a little bit of reminder, as if anyone could ever forget this one. This is the Filthy Lucre remix, which is the one everyone heard on radio at the time. It's Treaty by Yothu Yindi here on Joy.
J
94.9. That's Yotha Yindi and Treaty, the Filthy Luca remix. Gavin Campbell, one of the men behind that mix, in the studio with us now. And he ended up being the first man ever awarded a gold accreditation as an Australian producer from ARIA for that particular song as well.
It's actually DJ producer.
Oh, DJ producer.
Yeah, yeah. No DJs had actually produced a dance track that had become that successful before in Australia. It was kind of very early days with Australian-produced dance music.
Now, in the throughout the 90s, you had a company of your own, Razor Recordings, and you you did a fair amount of music through that time. What's some of the things you did during that time?
Well, we did the Hunters and Collectors mix.
Yep.
We did... we actually did an album. The funny thing was, I started to license disco songs from America, because I could see as an Australian DJ that there was music that was popular on my dance floor that was on the top 40 overseas, but not even released here.
Well, I mean, Australia just wouldn't buy disco.
So we started licensing things and thinking we were going to do that and start to provide Australia with more dance music. But the typical mentality of the Australian companies was they wanted a piece of the action because they didn't understand dance music. So they licensed Razor and then talked me into producing an album of local artists. Mm-hmm. And I had to go out and ask people that I knew were musicians who understood dance music. I said, can you make a dance song? So it was actually a whole full project like that with, I think, 9 original artists. And we created Filthy Luca to make a track for that compilation. And then Yotha Yindi came after that.
Fantastic. Now, one of the other reasons that you are so well-known within the community and should be well-known within the community is, of course, that you are one of the creators of the Tasty Nightclub.
Yes, that's right.
And you weren't there on that very famous night, but you obviously have a very intimate experience for the raid that did occur.
Totally. I'm actually very glad that I wasn't there, because I'm quite an indignant type of individual. And having my customers treated that way, because I don't think they would have done that to me. They didn't do that to my head of security or the manager of the club that was operating our end of it at the time. There was two entities that ran Tasty. There was the Commerce Club themselves and Razor Promotions. So, they did. I just would have probably got thrown into the van straight away.
You would have been yelling and, yes. And,
totally, right. Totally. I had a real ego problem at the time.
So one of the things about Tasty, despite all of the negativity and all of the bad stuff that came out of that, was that after the court actions and just recently, we 20 years later, we had the Victoria Police officially apologise for that act, which has been fantastic.
That blew me away, that apology.
Yeah.
So unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And such an unusual rare move from any government body to do that. So they should be congratulated for it.
Yeah, we did a couple of little speeches at the start of that night, just before that opened to the public. We had victims of the raid and people like that. And I actually got up on stage and I said 3 cheers for the cops for apologising. And you should have heard the roar. It's really cool to feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone yell out together. It's great.
And, of course, over the years, you've also managed to turn it into a positive by having the Tasty reunion parties over a period of time, which have always been really popular. So
they have been. This was the fourth, since the club finished in the 90s, this was the fourth Tasty since then, but the first raid anniversary. Except for the first one, of course, when the club was still open.
Yep.
But this was the 20th raid anniversary. I've been waiting for 3 years since I realised it was coming up. I'm like, oh, my God, this is gold. So it was just such a joy preparing for that party. And Puff Duff and Chasers were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work for Puff Duff, so it was an obvious fit, you know. They're similar kind of upfront types of clubs. So,
Now, and that's and to bring us a bit more up to date, you were the musical director when Puff Duff started a few years back down at the bottom end. So you were really part of the start of creating a club that filled a real gap after the market went away and those sort of things. So
you know, it's interesting you should say filled a gap, Chris, because I didn't believe there was a gap to fill.
I don't think anyone did.
It's just that clubs were failing.
Yeah.
Day clubs were failing and things like that. And I was working for a very creative fellow named Michael Delaney, who was responsible for Honky Tonks and Third Class and things like that. And he opened the Bottom End, and about 3 months after that, he said to me, "Gavin, we want to do a gay thing on the top floor." And I thought, "You're dreaming, mate. You're dreaming here in the city, blah, blah." He was straight, but he had his best mate was about to come out of the closet. So anyway, and he's now the boss of Puff Duff. And so, it was created there, and I, of course, got the Guernsey for making sure the music was right.
Right.
Which was... you know, the very first night, opening night and the second night, every song I played was an experiment. I had no idea what the young gay crowd that had assembled in front of me would want. I really didn't, because it had been years since I'd played to a young gay dance floor.
You'd have been watching that floor very carefully that night.
God. writing notes and everything. We worked it out.
Yeah, well, obviously. And I mean, the night has gone on to bigger and better things by moving out to Chasers on a Saturday
it's
night now.
It's phenomenal now. It's actually considered by not just the gay scene, but the straight scene, as the number one club in town at the moment.
Yeah.
With sheer numbers and energy and the innovation with the music.
It gets nothing but positive reviews these days. So,
yeah, it's fun.
Well done for being part of the start of that
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I want to talk about, very quickly, you've resurrected your own label in Razor Recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months ago, now you've got a brand new song, which we will talk about after the news headlines with Philip. But before that, you put out a song a few months ago, which was your first foray back into music for some time, I understand.
Yeah, I hadn't done it for many years, actually.
So tell us a little bit about The Antidote.
The Antidote is a track... I've got this friend that I've had for many years named Paul Brandoli.
Yes, Paul, who we'd all know more recently from his work with Tune In Tokyo and Natalie Gauchi.
Yep.
But if you've got a much longer memory, then, of course, Culture Shock. And Eclipse.
Yes.
Paul Brandoli has a very long history in the Melbourne music scene as well.
He's a veteran and he's a good mate. And I just said to Paul, you know, I think that there's a lot of music left in me that hasn't come out yet. And I just asked him if he wouldn't mind collaborating. So we've done that together.
Okay.
And The Antidote was the first song. And basically, we were just going to make songs and put out like an EP. So we had The Antidote sitting there. And being the opportunist that I am, when The Voice began, it just happened that the girl that sang The Antidote for us was one of the finalists on The Voice.
Right.
So we put it out on iTunes. We didn't make a big fanfare. We just stuck it on there.
Okay, because of her name, and which, of course, is Solly Tasima.
Yes, yes.
And she was one of the stronger voices in that first series of The Voice, that's
fabulous
for sure.
Young girl. Yeah. She's 19. Just really, really lovely person. And that was the first time she'd ever been in a studio, and she sang her heart out.
Mm. Now, this song I would describe as some fairly serious deep house. It's a very strong track, and I reckon we should have a listen to it and give a few more people the opportunity to hear it.
Okay.
So Gavin Campbell is in the studio with us now. We're just getting to the fact that he's got a new musical partnership with Mr. Paul Brandoli, which reminded me today that one of Paul's very early works from Culture Shock was one of my favourite songs at the time, from way, way back in 1995. I think it's time to listen to Culture Shock and Who's Gonna Cry For You on Joy. In the studio with us still is Mr. Gavin Campbell. Gavin, we just heard from your new co-conspirator in music, Mr. Paul Brandoli, from something that he's, you know, more than 20 years old.
Yeah.
It still sounds quite fresh as well.
Well, we were suggesting that it was a great drag queen number. Hands in the air.
Drag central. And you know, some of the 90s, well, quite a bit of the 90s sound is back in vogue.
It is.
So even the camp stuff like what Brandoli alcoholic nut.
You're suspecting he's listening right now, aren't you?
No, I have no idea. He probably is by now. Someone would have rung him by now. Hi, Paul.
Now, the other thing that you've done a second song with Paul, which has just come out. Mm-hmm. It's got a whole swag of remixes along with it. So tell us a little bit about The Saboteurs and how this song came about.
Well, The Saboteurs, again, I approached Paul to collaborate, and we decided that we would make a number of tunes and then decide what was the most fabulous or whether we would do an EP, you know. And The Saboteurs was, I think it was the third song we began, and I think we stopped working on the second one, and which is now being worked on now.
Right.
So The Saboteurs, I've had this family friend for many years. Her name's Evie, Evangeline. Mm-hmm. And I was just waiting for her to become old enough to sing for me.
Right.
So, So she turned 18. I introduced her to Paul, who really fell in love with her voice. And I was quite nervous about introducing her. I had this video clip of her singing something, which wasn't a great performance, but Paul's clever, very clever, and he picked up something in her voice, got her in, and she's so that's, again, like Solly, that was Evie's first foray into the studio, and it sounds great. So we wanted to do house music. The music that we were making had to reflect me as a DJ and, mm-hmm.
And where you come from, and try and make it up to the moment at the same time.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool is when we started making this house stuff, it was we were thinking that we were going to sound different to everybody, and now 90s piano house is
absolutely
huge.
The world has caught up with you.
Yeah, and it took us ages to nail this one. Like, this was actually really, really difficult because Evie did such a unique vocal. When the listeners hear it, they'll understand it's a really sassy, modern vocal styling to it, and which is of course Paul directing Evie, because she was inexperienced, but still talented. Anyway, I'm waffling now.
No. But so and Evie's well and truly local. I think she grew up in Geelong, but she's based in Melbourne at the moment. Yep. And I'm assuming she's going to do more singing work of her own. And
well,
you've encouraged her, I hope.
Well, yeah, she's the first signing, really, apart from myself, to the label Razor Recordings, and my managers, who I've been with for a number of years now, they know all about rock, and Evie is a rock girl. So we have Razor Edge and Razor Club, and then there's Razor Soul, and we've actually got an artist.
You're just making sure you've got a foot in every can.
But it's just that we're, as a unit at Razor, we know how to do club, soul and rock.
Okay.
So, you know, we've thought, okay, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything. We've just created three little entities for each sound. And Evie has been writing with some very high-powered individuals in the industry. And all I can say is the EP that we put out for Evie is going to – she's a star.
Okay.
She will be a star.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
So I'm very proud of her.
Now, apart from producing a whole range of new music and getting Razor Recordings up and running and doing all these things, what else is on Gavin Campbell's agenda?
Look, I'm really, you know, I'm a DJ. I've always said that my whole career, even when I've had other things to do. I'm first and foremost a DJ. And to be honest, the real reason for making music is because I'm over 50 now. And I don't want to go out networking to find gigs. People know where I am and stuff like that, but I really needed to do something to raise my profile again. And it just happened to coincide beautifully with the Tasty 20-year anniversary.
Yep.
So it's got the attention that I was hoping it would get. So what's next really is in October I'm off to Amsterdam for what's called the Amsterdam Dance Event, which is kind of the coolest music conference in the world at the moment in terms of dance music. So I'm a record label person, a producer and an artist and a DJ. So, and that's all I want to do really. I just love music. I understand it.
We love you for it.
Thank you.
We hope that you continue to bring us great music. whether it's DJing, producing, or bringing us great new artists like Evangeline.
Thank you very much for asking me in.
My pleasure, and thank you for spending the most of the last hour with us. It's been fantastic.
I always love coming into Joy. I really do. It's always the best experience, so thank you very much.
And we're going to hear that brand new single now from Gavin. This is Gavin Campbell and Evangeline. It's called The Saboteurs. It has been added to rotation here at Joy 94.9. You'll be hearing plenty more of it. Once again, Gavin Campbell, thank you for being on Joy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.